Finding Fire, written and read by Benjamin Glatt, music composed by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by Dr. Lawrence Glatt. Once, long ago, before time really meant much of anything, the people were afraid. This was strange, for in those days they feared very little. In the night, when the owl would shriek, they would laugh and mock his harsh voice. And when the wolf would howl, they would join in the chorus until the pack was confused and slunk away. But there was one sound they feared, one sound they didn't mock. It came stealing over them in the darkest parts of the night and made even the bravest warriors shudder and hold their loved ones close. It was a long, dry cough. It sounded at once very far away and right behind them. On the nights when the sound came, they would band together and go searching through the camp and the nearby woods for its source. But they had no way to see in the darkness, and their searches were always fruitless. Finally, in the early morning, after another search, the leader of the people called all of his bravest warriors together and said to them, "I must send one of you out into the world to find for us a means to see what cannot be seen." Then the warriors shuffled their feet and looked at one another, for they had wives, husbands, and children, and none wanted to step out into the world and never return. Finally, the youngest of them stepped forward. She was newly made a warrior, and though she feared the world beyond as much as any, the spark of curiosity and daring burned brightly. For all her fear, she wanted to see that which could be seen. At the sight of her, the chief was distressed, for she was very young and not tried in battle, but no one else would go. So, with a heavy heart, he bestowed on her the blessings of the people. With his blessings came a name, a new name to bear on her journey, for her old name belonged to the people and could not be taken with her. He called her Hero, which in the old language was the name for a small, fierce creature now passed from the earth. That very evening, Hero took her grandmother's spear from beside the door, took food for her journey, and set out into the world. She had many strange adventures along her way. She met friends and teachers, allies and enemies, and all of them she asked if there was a way to see what could not be seen. And all of them told her no, they knew nothing of this power she sought. Until one day she was walking in the marshy prairie, and the blackbird perched near her on a stump. "Where are you going in such a hurry?" asked the bird. "I seek a way to see what cannot be seen." At this the blackbird chuckled to himself, for he was a very sly bird with many tricks, and he had thought of one to play on this trusting human. "I know what you seek and where you might find it." Hero had no reason to mistrust the blackbird, so she eagerly asked him where she might find such a secret. He told her to go to the very top of a nearby mountain. There the brothers, North and South Wind, held court, and would grant gifts to any brave enough to climb to the top of their peak. He told her marvelous tales of their generosity and kindness. "However," he said, "the brothers are also stern and seek to test the resolve of anyone who would ask for their aid. So no matter what they say to you, you must keep climbing." At this Hero was suspicious, but she had no other leads, so she thanked the blackbird and set off to climb the mountain. The truth was that North and South Wind hated anyone who would dare climb their mountain. They thought of it as the highest form of insult. So when Hero began to climb, they were furious. First, South Wind tried to stop her. He battered and pushed her with hot winds that scorched her skin and threatened to tear her from the mountain. But she remembered the blackbird's words and continued her climb. Finally, exhausted and frustrated, South Wind returned to the top of the mountain. Then North Wind descended, and conjured such a blizzard that Hero could not feel her hands clasped around her spear, and couldn't see for more than a few feet in front of her. But she continued to climb. Finally, North Wind returned to his brother, exhausted and frustrated. Now the brothers were a little afraid, for they had thrown all their powers at Hero, and still she climbed. So they sat together in council and decided that they would use their last and greatest weapon to drive her from their mountain. They gathered all their strength and waited patiently for her to reach the top of the mountain. Hero was suspicious when the wind stopped. She did not trust the calm or the strange smell in the air, but now she had seen the power of the winds firsthand. She was convinced that they might have the answers that she was looking for. So she pushed on and reached the very top of the mountain, just as the deep dark of night set in. There the smell was even stronger, and there was a terrible stillness in the air. She moved cautiously, and with every step her feeling of foreboding increased. Then, with only the barest moment of warning, the brothers threw their spear. It came down in a terrible white arc and smashed into the mountain with such force that it shook. Hero, ready for trouble, was able to throw herself to the side, but the force of the great white spear sent her tumbling and spinning across the plateau. The brothers laughed, for they knew she would never be able to dodge their next throw. Already she was weakened from her climb and their first bolt. So with joy in their hearts, together they hurled their second spear, the spear that would extinguish this arrogant human. But Hero was not afraid, for even as she was sent tumbling and spinning, she noticed something else, something that made the hard climb and the long journey worth all the trouble. When the brother's spear had struck, the whole world lit up as though it were the middle of the day. So, as the brothers prepared her death, she smiled, for she had at last found what she was looking for, and she would not run from it. Instead, she raised her spear up, planted it in the ground, and as the brothers' terrible bolt fell from the heavens, she caught it on the tip of her own spear. The pain was almost unbearable. Her spear blazed white hot in her hand, but she held on. Even as the ground trembled, she held on. Even as her hand blackened, she held on. And in an instant, it was over. The heat, the pain, the rumbling, and the bright white light. The mountain was very still and very quiet. Still, but not dark. For where the brother's bolt had struck Hero's spear, something new now bloomed. A little red flickering light that lit up the top of the mountain. Fire was born into the world. The stillness did not last long. The brothers shouted their fury, and their shout was so loud that it woke on the mountain a sleeping avalanche that, startled out of its rest, began a mad dash to the bottom of the mountain. Hero, who now feared the brothers might try to take this new power from her, leaped on the back of the avalanche and skipped and danced down the mountain as the brothers shouted their fury at her. When she reached the bottom of the mountain, she began to run, for she saw how the fire began to consume her spear, and she needed to reach her people before it was gone. As she ran, the blackbird, who had watched her flight from the brothers, came and flew in front of her to see the marvelous new power that was born into the world. But Hero, remembering how he had tricked her, reached out with her burning spear and touched the back of his wings, so that they too caught fire. At this, the blackbird howled and begged her to save him, for he felt the heat begin to consume him. She told the blackbird that if he flew to where the people were gathered in the forest and told them to make a pile of old spears in the center of the camp, she would put out the fire. So he did as she told him, and when the people had made their pile, he flew back to her and again begged her for mercy. So she paused in her run to dip him in the water of the swamp and quench the fire. But she warned him never again to stray too far from the water. and to this day, the blackbird by the swamp bears the mark of fire on his wings. She ran on, and the fire consumed more and more of her spear. But she was tireless, and at last made it to the clearing where the people had their camp. There, with the last of the strength remaining to her, she thrust the burning spear into the heart of the pile the people had made for it. Fire was born to the people. For many days and many nights, the people celebrated the new power and hero's daring. She was given a strong new spear, the chief's handsomest son, and many songs composed and poems written about her deeds. But on the third day of the celebration, the people were again struck by terror, for in the midst of the celebration, they heard again the long, dry cough, the sound that they so feared. Now when they searched, though, they carried fire and could see even in the dark. But they reached the woods in vain until the sound came again. This time all those who had stayed around the fire cried out, for they saw what made the noise. It was not some terrible creature of the night. It was just an old woman who sat quietly with her family and coughed as quietly as she could into her hand. They called the warriors back from the forest and told them what they had discovered, and the people laughed long and hard at their own foolishness. Laughter is the best cure for fear, and when the old woman coughed again, it seemed just another noise of the night, nothing strange or frightening. Even a newborn baby who was sitting in the old woman's arms just smiled and laughed as his grandmother coughed. And she smiled down at this child who would learn not to be afraid so young. But that night, as the fire began to die, the child, who had never seen beyond the ring of firelight, heard the owl shriek and the wolves howl, and was mortally afraid.